Last time we were here, what we did, we put a lot of emphasis on the conversion of Saul on the Damascus road. You can recall what had happened there. And we name about 6 points that we gather from that conversion. And from that, we were able to detail some things. But tonight, what we're going to look on is the fact that after he went into the street called Straight, they helped him because he was blind. The encounter left him blind. And they helped him, and he went into Damascus in a street called Straight. The Lord sent a servant to minister unto him. And the servant went and ministered unto him, and his sight was restored. He started to eat again, and he was baptized, and he received the Holy Ghost. 4 things that happened to him while he was in the street called Straight, and Ananias went to minister unto him. 4 things happened to him there. 4 things of which we are not going to look at tonight. We might pick up those 4 things another time when we will link it to something else. But those 4 things are very important things that happen in the life of Saul. And after receiving the deliverance from the Lord, after the servant of the Lord ministered to him, we discover, based on what God has said to us here, that he started now to preach Jesus. Jesus, whom he was persecuting, according to what Jesus said to him when he met him on Damascus Road. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He thought he was persecuting the church, the saints. But the Lord made it clear to him that it was not so much the saints that he was persecuting, but he was persecuting the Lord himself. He was kicking against this prick. He was kicking, but it's only him was getting hurt. And so the Lord made himself known to him right there on Damascus Road. And what we find now is that he who was persecuting the church, he who was creating havoc to the brethren, he who had a letter from the hierarchy, the Sanhedrin Council, to go and bring anyone who was speaking on behalf of the man Jesus, to bring them bound to Jerusalem, that they might receive harsh punishment for speaking in the name of Jesus. He who was doing all that and was feared by so many people, including the believers, has now become the main spokesperson for none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And we find that in the passage that Sister Bennett read. And if I read from verse 21, Acts 9:21, but all that heard him were amazed, which call on this name, was amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem? Mm-hmm. And came either for that intent that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. That is verse 21 and verse 22.
Okay.
The people who heard him, after those four things happened to him, after he was ministered unto by the servant of God, those four things that happened to him there. One, God's servant said to him, Brother Saul, based on what the Lord had said to Ananias, Ananias was satisfied on the testimony that the Lord gave him, that Saul has now become one of us. It is, Ananias is taking God's word and saying, I am dropping my opposition against Saul, and I am now embracing him as one of us. Because the Lord said, go your way, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And so the first thing that the brother did was to, I just imagine how he slapped him hard on his shoulder and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the first thing that happened of those four things, one, he received his sight. And the second thing that happened, he started to eat food. The third thing that happened, he was baptized in water. And the fourth thing, he received the Holy Ghost. And having gone through this, here he is in Damascus, preaching Jesus. A tremendous change has taken place here. And church, I understand where you're coming from. If you feel the way some of these saints felt, then remember what they said. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on a name in Jerusalem? Some of the saints were skeptical about him, but nonetheless, despite their feeling, he continued to preach Jesus. What the word tells us? The word tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, I think verse 21 or 17. If 17. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Paul himself speaking in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 said that the life I now live, I live it in Christ. I live it in Christ. I am now engaged in a new life. And that life I am now living in Christ. And you would have all right to feel that maybe you can't trust this brother. You can't trust this brother. Because I just imagine how the church feel about him then. He listening to him preaching. And maybe you would feel the same way in our church here. Maybe another church would feel the same way in their church. If somebody having the type of repetition that this brother have, all of a sudden start to occupy the pulpit and start to preach, there would be some form of opposition. There would be some form of thinking negatively as to whether or not we can trust this brother. That is what was passing through the young Christian's mind to see this man who was persecuting the church now become so prominent at the forefront declaring Jesus. So I'm saying to all of us here that when God make a move, we have to acknowledge that move, and let us not try to play down what God has done, but let us try to see if we can really understand where God is going with this. And you know, there's a scripture for it as well. There's a scripture for it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Listen to what Paul said here. Not a novice. He's talking about leaders. He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fell into reproach and snare of the devil. Paul is saying, if somebody is called into the office, if somebody is called into service to occupy this position, like what the Apostle Paul, that like what Saul is occupying right now, preaching the name of Jesus, demonstrating that Jesus Christ is Lord, he should not, Paul said, a novice should not occupy that position. Because what? First of all, he should have a good report from without. Those who know him on the outside should have a good report of him. And those who know him on the inside should have equally witness to that good report. When you think about Saul here, what he was doing prior to him now preaching Jesus, you could not consider him having a good report without and within. And that is the foundation, that is the basis for which the saints were concerned about him occupying the role that he now occupies. But if any man be in Christ, as I've said to you, he's a new creature. And God, in a miraculous way, is showing his sovereign ability to the church. And God can override anything to bring honor and glory to himself here. Listen to how Paul described himself later on, so as to why he was engaged in what he was doing. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I read from verse 13. Who was before, speaking of himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That is what he's saying now. He's saying, I who ill-treat the brethren, I who did create havoc for the church, I did it ignorantly. And for the fact that I did it ignorantly, I was forgiven by God. That is what he said here. God overlooked my past because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so God was able to wash him off. God washed him off by doing those two things with Ananias to him. And the same zeal he had in persecuting the church, God is now using that same zeal in a different direction to minister unto his holy name. So when you look and to see the influence that he had. Remember now, he went to Damascus, he was going to Damascus with a letter to persecute the Christian. That means he was on the side of the Sanhedrin council. That means the synagogue in Damascus would give him an opening and a voice, because he is one of them. He is one of them. He is connected to the Jew. So, and the Jews in there in Damascus know of him and knew that he was coming. And the place of worship would be open to him. Because what? He is one of them. And he used that influence by going into that synagogue in Damascus, as he would normally do on behalf of the Jews. He uses the same influence and go right into that synagogue and preach Jesus. What a transformation. What a transformation. The Christians would never get that opportunity. The saints in Damascus would never get that opportunity. But here is Saul, being one of the Jews, being one of them, the Sanhedrin brethren, the Judah from Judaism. He has access to the temple, and he went in there, and they were astonished to know that instead of him coming there preaching Judaism, he is now preaching Jesus. What a transformation, saints. No man can tie the hands of God. He is the sovereign God, having the ability to do anything he wishes. And we have to just watch him work. And he was doing it on behalf of all of us here tonight, as he turned a man around that he might be glorified. What a transformation. We give God the praise and we give God the glory for that. Bless his name. I don't know if at this point you'd like to say something here. We would open the phone up this time so that you get a chance to do it this early. Is there a thought that you'd like to share to us? Okay, let's move on. Look on verse 23. Verse 23, Acts 9 verse 23 said, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Yes, my sister.
We was just want to comment on verse 22, where he says that he confounded the Jews.
Yes. He confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus.
Yes,
notice, or specify the Jews at Damascus. Because, as I've just said to you, they were expecting him, the Jews, they were expecting him coming there with a letter from the Sanhedrin council in Jerusalem to persecute the saints. And therefore, the Jews there was his colleague, in the sense that they all embraced Judaism. Saul embraced Judaism, and the Jews in Damascus embraced Judaism. But God met him on the way as he was going to Damascus. And the Jews did not know to the extent of the encounter until when he arrived in Damascus and he was ministered unto by God's servant, and he ate food, and he was strong again, and he decided that he is going to go right into the heart of the Jews and preach Jesus.
That's Christ. Yes, yes.
And so that's why, Sister Bennett, as I've said before, that he had, because of his position with the Jews, he embraced Judaism with the Jews. He had access to the temple, to the synagogue, the place of worship in Damascus. Whereas the children of God, the saints in Damascus, did not have that opportunity. They have to stay clear of the synagogue because of what they believe. They believe in Jesus. So they have to stay, maintain their distance. But this Saul was not so. He was a friend of the synagogue. And therefore he had access to the synagogue, and he went in there, and the Jews thought that he was going preach Judaism. But instead, based on the conversion, he started preaching Jesus.
That's amen. Praise the Lord.
And if you notice this, as you point this out, Sister Bennett, verse 22 here. It was the Jews who dwell in Damascus that was confounded.
Yes,
they were confounded. They were confounded to see the transformation that takes place with this man. And what is the end result? They now decide to organize that they might kill him. This man is worthy of death because to the Jews, he's a traitor.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because he shifts from them and start to preach Jesus. But look on verse 23 for a minute. I don't know if that satisfies you, Sister Bennett. Does it?
Yes, sir, yes.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, Parker.
All right. And verse 23 said, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. The same Jews at Damascus, Sister Bennett. Now, let me say to the church that right here, Luke is the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostle. Luke is the one who by inspiration wrote this passage that we are looking at. And Luke leave out something, I would want to think, by the leading of the Holy Ghost. But nonetheless, give us enough information that we can hold on to. And this little section here, verse 23, after many days were fulfilled. That line there, after many days were fulfilled. It is not just many today, tomorrow, and the next day. This many days here mean many years. And this term is used in the Bible in more than one places. I don't know if you remember in 1 Kings chapter, I think, 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. The Bible tells us that after many days, the Lord spoke to Elijah and tell him that he should go and show himself to Ahab. After many days, it is 1 Kings 18. I'm going to read it. 1 Kings 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Listen to that. In the third year, saying, go, show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Listen to that. After many days, but the Lord was referring to after 3 years. God was referring to after 3 years, and he uses the term after many days. Here we hear we find the same term again used in Acts chapter 9, verse what? Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And after many days were fulfilled. And so right here something happens. Because Luke tells us after many days. In fact, Luke was actually saying after 3 years. Right here. And all we know that it is after 3 years. It is out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul giving his own experience as to what happened. And so for that we go to Galatians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul said, describing the same moment that Luke is describing, but only with a different angle to it. Listen to what he said. Galatians 1 verse 13. I'm going to read a few passages here. Galatians 1 verse 13. For he's writing to the church at Galatia. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jewish religion. Oh, that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now that is how he started out referring to his conversion to them. And profited in the Jewish religion above many of my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and return again to Damascus. Right here, verse 23, when it says, after that many days were fulfilled, Luke is referring to over 3 years period. He was referring to a period of over 3 years when he said, after many days here. Here the Apostle Paul is confirming that piece of information. As he relates to the church at Galatia, what had happened to him immediately after his conversion. Remember now, he went into Damascus and he ministered into the synagogue, which was just a short time. For a short period of time, he did that. But when he was finished witnessing there, maybe for a week or two, he went by the Spirit into Arabia desert. And he spent 3 years there. And then he came back again to Damascus, the same place where he had his experience initially with the Lord, his encounter with the Lord, came back to Damascus. Let me read a little bit more as to what he said in this letter to the church owner at Galatia. Um, verse 17, Galatians 1, 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, listen to that. This is a 3 year period that we are talking about here, that Luke said after many days. Paul is telling us here that it is over a 3 year period that Luke was making reference to when he said after many days. And I point out to you that the Bible reference for after many days could at times mean a 3 year period, as we refer to 1 Kings 18 there, when God told Elijah that he should go and show himself to Ahab. That is after the heavens were locked up and there was no rain for 3.5 years. The Lord and Ahab and Elijah was hanging out somewhere at a brook. The Lord was feeding him with bread by a raven, and he drank the water. For over 3 years he did that. And then when that time passed, the Lord referred to it after many days and said that it's time you get up and go and show yourself to King Ahab. Here, the Apostle Paul is making sure that everyone understands that this period that Luke referred to after many days is actually referring to over three years. Because the Apostle Paul is now making mention of it over here. Then after verse 18, Galatians 1 verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So listen, let's get back to Acts 9, verse 23. After that, many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. But they're laying awake. But they laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gate day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. That is after he went to Arabia for 3 years, and he came back into Damascus, and he ministered there again for another short while. He now decided that he is going to leave Damascus, going to Jerusalem for the first time. This is after 3 years altogether. For the first time now, he is going to go to Jerusalem. That time he has been already to Arabia to be instructed by the Lord himself. Now he's leaving Damascus, and news went through the community that he was leaving, and the Jews lay wait for him through the passage that he would come, that they might kill him. And the news reached the disciples in Damascus, and the disciples came together, and they said that we are not going to allow you to take that route. Instead, we are going to let you down in a basket over a wall that you might escape. That is what they did, so that he was able to leave from Damascus to Jerusalem. Because what? Seeing that he now start preaching Jesus, he became a wanted man. And a wanted man by his own countrymen, the Jews. He now preach Jesus. And now before I start to look at verse 26, I am wondering if somebody has a thought that they would like to share. Is there another thought somebody would like to share right here? So Okay, let's move on. Verse 27. No, it is important that we read verse 26 too. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, that means he has escaped the trap that the Jews set for him in Damascus. And he now reaches Jerusalem. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, by assayed to join himself, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, believe not that he was a disciple. Just like how the saints felt about him in Damascus, in him preaching Jesus in Damascus, the disciples and the apostles in Jerusalem, as you know, the Bible said, the apostles, they, while the persecution broke out, and the disciples scattered all over, but the apostles did not leave Jerusalem. They stayed in Jerusalem. And so Paul was, in his writing to the church at Galatia, he was able to tell them that when he was converted, he did not go to Jerusalem, but instead he goes into Arabia. No, he went to Arabia and he came back. And he's going now to Jerusalem the first time since his conversion. And he is going there now to meet with some of the disciples. And this is rather interesting here. Because when he got there, the same opposition, the same feeling that the brethren had for him in Damascus, is the same feeling the apostle and the other disciples had for him in Jerusalem. Nobody trusts the brother. Nobody feels good about him. Everyone believes that he's an imposter. Everyone believes that he's coming among them to work another trick in order to bring them down. That is the feeling of all the disciples, including the apostles. And as you said, as you see here in verse 26, his desire, he had desired that he would meet with the apostles. He really wanted to meet with the apostles, to share some thoughts with them. Verse 26 tells us that. But they keep it at an arm's length, because they just did not trust him. They just did not trust him for what he did before and what was nice about concerning him. They was calling him at a distance. But I want to tell the church something here tonight that I find very tasteful. And I trust you find it that way too. I really do. I really trust you find it that way too. Look on 26. Look on the opposition. Look on this. Look on the opposition that this brother met with the saints in Jerusalem. The apostles and the disciples. All of them, bar none. And then you would understand Peter's position. Because Peter realized that the Lord has gone, has left, and leave the church in his hand. Leave the church in his hand. And Peter is not going to let anybody come across and create damage to the church. That is Peter's outlook on the whole thing. Nobody is going to come in here and do as they like with what God has established. And that's why Peter look at Paul with skepticism. You are not going to play a trick at us. That is one of the things that was passing through Peter's mind. And not only him, but the rest of disciples. But They said, I just want you and I to agree together as we embrace the next verse, which is verse 27. Verse 27 says, but Barnabas took him. Hallelujah. let me go back to where we first found Barnabas. We first found Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. And listen to what we find. Witness, brother. We found in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 36. I don't know if you have your Bibles there. Here is where this brother surfaced. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here is where that brother first surfaced inside the church. And look what he did. First of all, he is called the son of consolation. He was a Levite. He served in the temple at Jerusalem. He served among the hierarchy of the leaders of the church until he was converted to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And look what he did. He sold his own. He realized the need in the church. And what he did? He sold his land. And he brought, without anybody saying anything to him, he sold land and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet because he saw the need of the young convert in the church and how much important it is that they have food to eat, clothes to wear, somewhere to sleep, and all these levels of encouragement to keep a young church going. Barnabas was able to administer his substance, his time, his energy, his skill to the young church then. And he has been a follower, a faithful follower of the Lord up until this point here that we are going to look at. That is where he first surfaced. But look on what the word tells us about him here again, as we are looking at him at another time. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him who? Took Saul. When Peter and all the others was keeping Saul at a distance and would not even touch him with a long spoon, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Listen now, not just the brethren, not just the disciples, but to the highest ranking officer in the church, the apostles. Barnabas took Saul to the apostle and declare unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I pause there to say to us tonight that I believe with all my heart, and you heard me say it before, that every church should have a Barnabas. Every church should have a Barnabas. The type of spirit. The type of spirit that was in this servant of God. The first time that we saw him, he sold his land and brought the money into the apostle for it to be distributed and used among the young convert. Here we find the very apostle keeping this young convert at a distance based on his record. Barnabas, the son of conciliation, took him, brought him to the apostles, and said to them, listen to me, man. You know me. You know me. You know how I love Jesus. You know I would do anything for the saints, for the young convert. And I am not in a position at all to mislead you. I am bringing this man to you because I have proven him to be genuine. I have proven him to be a true servant of God. I have heard his testimony. I am convinced within my spirit that he is the genuine article. And I want you to embrace him just like how you embrace me in the Lord. I want you to love him. I want you to take him as one of us. Barnabas, take Saul. And brought him to the apostle. And he struck the apostles as to the temperament of the man. And the relationship that he has in Jesus. And it is on the basis of his word that he found audience with the apostle. As I said to you, every church should have a Barnabas. You know, I often refer to Pastor Brown in New Divine as having the spirit of Barnabas. I work with the man. I see how the brother operate. And he is a type of servant who want to quash every dispute. Every dispute, he tried to find a counseling position in order to address it. And on top of that, he possesses a humble spirit in carrying out this responsibility. And I'm talking behind his back. Something like this you need to say before him. In our church in Miami, I see Pastor Daly. I see Pastor Daly having the spirit of Barnabas.
Amen, amen, amen.
Having this meek, a quiet, counselor. A counselor. Want to see everything go right and encourage every single one to bring out the best in each person. The spirit of Barnabas. When it is on display in the church, it is beautiful. Can somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is
praise the Lord.
Praise his name.
And we all embrace and love the brother because we see in him a spirit which is Christ-like. Barnabas said, you know what? All of them keeping you at a distance. I am going to put my life on the line for you. I am going to talk to the apostles on your behalf. And he brought Saul to the apostle and said, listen man, put your difference aside. Put all your opposition aside. This is a genuine article. This is a true servant of God. Despite his past, right now, he's a chosen vessel unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I look on this passage of scripture, my heart melts. Because we need this kind of spirit in the church. We need this kind of spirit in order to let the church grow. We need this kind of spirit in order to settle disputes. We need this kind of spirit in order to advance our position. We need this kind of spirit as we care for one another. There's a common saying that goes, he looks beyond my fault and he saw my need. We need this kind of spirit. Instead of a spirit to tear down, we need a spirit to build up. In Jerusalem. And despite the fact that Barnabas tried his best, there was still the residue of opposition among the apostles in regards to Saul. There was still a residue of opposition. I want to prove to you something here. That was the first encounter with Saul going to meet the apostles. Then listen to what Saul himself said. Remember, the first time he went to Jerusalem is when he said here in Galatians chapter 1. Yes, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, and I see Peter on a boat with him 15 days. That was the first time that he had gone to Jerusalem. But along with him was Barnabas. Now listen to what, and we thought that the whole opposition towards Saul had been settled then. But it looked as if it was not, despite the effort of Barnabas. Listen to what he said in chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. Listen carefully to what is happening here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, that is 14 years after his first visit, when Barnabas introduced him to the apostle, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And in order, there's a reason here why he took Titus. Barnabas is okay, because Barnabas is known of the apostles. But there's a reason why he took Titus. Titus went with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of repetition. Repetition means they who were circumcised. They who were circumcised. Lest by any means I should run, I'd run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. He had Titus with him, and Titus was not circumcised. But there's a reason why he had Titus with him, and I'm coming to that reason in a minute. And that because of the false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They heard that he is denouncing circumcision. Remember now, Titus is not circumcised, but the apostle brought in individuals to listen keenly to what he is saying, to find a way to once and for all kick him out of the church. And because, verse 4, and because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came into privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave space by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those which seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it made no matter to me. God accept no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of circumcision was committed unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentile, Paul was saying. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seems to be pillars, perceive the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. I'll stop there, because this is very important. It is when they interview them on this, after 14 years, and he went there with Barnabas, and he went there also with Titus, who was not circumcised, but saved by faith. He brought the evidence of salvation under his preaching to the brethren in Jerusalem. That was Titus. He was saying to them, look, Titus here is not circumcised as you all are. Yet still, Titus is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. Because of the new dispensation of grace, he stands before you as a witness, as a testimony, as to my calling as an apostle. Because he sensed that despite Barnabas' hard work, there was still the residue of opposition towards him from the apostle. And when they examined him, and when they saw the evidence, Titus standing beside him, and of course Barnabas, the son of consolation, what did they do? They gave him the right hand of fellowship. They said, welcome to the church, my brother. Welcome to the body of Christ. I have seen in you what was deposited in me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! As much as Peter was committed to the circumcision, the people who choose to want to circumcise, Peter was the apostle to them, but Paul was the apostle to the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, to preach the unsearchable riches of the gospel of Christ. He brought Titus as a witness to the apostle, for them to see him, for them to look on a convert of Jesus Christ who was not circumcised. Because they believe that unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And Saul proved them wrong. Here is the evidence that you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. You have to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. We will read some more of this as we go on, because we are not really studying Galatians. But we will come back to Galatians again, because there's some more juice in there that we need to extract. As we study the Acts of the Apostle, and I thought that we would actually finish this, but I just want to do next time we come, we're going to 10. But I will do a short recap here, because Peter did perform two miracles. In the latter part of Acts 9 that we would like to look briefly on. So next time we do a little recap there, but we will definitely go to Acts 10. But I'm saying to the church tonight, if you don't get anything from the presentation, I'm asking you please to look on verse 26 and verse 27 and to see how, what type of spirit we love in the church. And not only in our church, but in all the churches, the spirit of Barnabas, hallelujah, taking on the responsibility of settling disputes, of settling issues, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. The spirit of Barnabas. Oh, bless God. I trust to God, all of us have this spirit. The spirit to give, the spirit to love, the spirit to forgive, the spirit to show mercy. Spirit of Barnabas, the spirit to unite. Man just escaped death. They were laying wait for him to kill him. By some miraculous move, they let him down over a wall, and he escaped to Jerusalem. And when he thought that he would be among his own believers in Christ, they kept him at a distance, at an arm's length. There comes Barnabas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. We stop there for tonight. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word to our hearts tonight. Thank you for what you have shown us. The true meaning of what it is to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for what you have unfolded to us tonight in the person of Barnabas. The conversion of Saul was outstanding. We have never seen anything like that. But the ministry of Barnabas, Lord, we thank you for this example. We pray, God, that every one of your people in all the churches would endeavor to get the spirit of Barnabas, where we can become a uniter, where we can become a giver, giving of ourselves, giving of our substance, giving of our ideas, giving of all that you gave to us so that you be glorified. Thank you for this example. And we thank you, Lord God, for your wisdom, the way in which you operate through the blessed Holy Spirit in that early church. The rift between the Apostle Paul, or Saul, and Peter and the rest could have crushed the early church. But you have set up a man to fill the gap called Barnabas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you for that tonight. And we bless your holy name. And we ask that you will make every one of us become a Barnabas. Put that spirit in us, so that we can experience growth in our church, and we will have joy together as we have sweet fellowship one with another. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your people who listen. In Jesus' name, amen.